Welcome back. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. And I want to thank Zafar Benkesh for being our guest. He's a brilliant guy. Follow him. You can find him on the internet. But joining us now is our old friend, Phil Condon. Are you there, Phil?
Yes, I'm here, and glad to be here.
Well, Zoom to you, too. This is great that we can do this, and I think the CIUT is rolling along rather well under the circumstances. So, Phil, we have some matters to talk about. I'll put it to you. What's on your mind?
Well, what's on my mind is that there's a small country that has a great history because they were at the center of the cauldron of the fight against Nazis. The country is now called Belarus. It was, of course, at that time, the Belarusian Soviet Socialist Republic. And it looks like our old friends, the color revolution people, are in town. Or at least that's the impression I have. You know?
Why? Because they're all wearing white?
Well, it's
NGO with them.
Well, let's put it this way. When Pompeo and that Canadian House of Commons say they're very concerned about democracy in a country and they don't like the outcome of the election, that's a signal that there's trouble afoot.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you raised it. I mean, we have to think about this phenomena of the Western sponsored finance groups. All have lovely labels, National Endowment for Democracy, Human Rights Watch, Democracy Watch. And they all have the same paymasters. It's a fact.
Yes.
Same with Amnesty, by the way. Amnesty is no angel. But they clearly, in the case of Belarus, there's no way the wife of a high school teacher who was a blogger could have been a serious candidate. I mean, you could look at the configuration of politics in Belarus and say, maybe they, you know, there's shortcomings or bad. You could say all those things, but it is highly unlikely that this was a very much of a contest. So it's turned into a political street contest. And I think you're right. And you want to remember Ukraine is a near neighbor where they had the Maidan coup. That was a coup. There was a government in place and it had promised parliamentary elections. And when I say promised, it was the law. But the main square was taken over and visited by every American senator available. And cookies were passed out by U.S. State Department personnel. I mean, it was a farce. And they would like to do the same in Belarus. My guess is they won't succeed. So, but these are matters that ought to be honestly assessed here instead of playing this little game of, it's a grassroots movement. And when in fact, there is a lot of foreign involvement under the guise of human rights. So, we'll see. I'm not seeing any dramatic anything. There have been some demonstration, but I'd be doubtful that they're going to be able to get the kind of traction that they got a couple of 3 years ago, because there is, of course, heavy skepticism now all over the world when they see what you called the color revolutions. It's kind of like an old show, right? The guy says, well, this is where I came in. And you remember in the movies, you used to go and you'd say, you stay until the movie comes around to where you came in. So that's...
Yes, we're at that point, right?
We're now saying, oh, this is where I came in. Sure. So there's another place where this is taking place in my view, and it's very close to home, and I think people should think about it. And the Canadian Parliament has been holding their little hearings again. They don't get a lot of press, but to me, it doesn't matter. It's not a sideshow. It's a litmus of our political culture that they have a thing called the Canada-China Committee, and they convene and they talk about China. and relations with China. And it is like a group of zombies, in my opinion, who are zombies who are running a kangaroo court. There really isn't an attempt to say, well, you know, here's a chance for us to talk about the background. They call experts, but all of the experts come from Human Rights Watch, Amnesty, or advocates for anti-China advocates who are stationed here, some in Washington, some in Hong Kong and other places. I have yet to see recorded by any media here an opposition voice, and by opposition, I mean, get a load of this, an objective person. For example, the former, the ambassador to China designate was asked about the situation in Xinjiang, China, and about the status of the Uyghurs. And all the questioning was McCarthyite. It was a presumption of guilt. There was no attempt to contextualize. And the result of that is, to my mind, a scandal. In the history of the British Parliament, I've read in hearings and inquiries, and they do, you can see some great figures in British history arguing in Parliament at committees, really raising fundamental issues. Anybody who knows about the American War of Independence knows that there were partisans of the Americans in the British Parliament, bothering the British government about what it was doing. But in the Canadian Parliament, there is not one naysayer. They're all on side, and they all sound like Pompeo, who is not a Canadian. And their questioning is all along the lines of Pompeo thought. He's our great leader. Here's some questions they didn't ask. They say there are detention centers, somebody said. And then there's speculation, big ones, small ones. No one said this. There is an international war on terror. China's a part of it. Syria, Iraq, United States, Britain. Have there been acts of terror in Xinjiang? No one asked that question. Is there an organization in Xinjiang that has carried out acts of terror? Instead, the question asked by the Canadian parliamentarian was the following. About the pretext of fighting terror and implementing oppressive conditions. He said pretext. No one asked, is it true that there are armed groups? And did they carry out violence? The answer to that, by the way, would be yes. So, okay, if there was a terrorist group and China fought back against that terrorist group, wouldn't that be something we would do? This is Canada, where we had the War Measures Act. And China didn't say, well, we can't talk to Canada. They had a War Measures Act. Well, because that was Canada's business. If China had, everybody would have gotten excited. But we get to ask all the time questions with no context. So this parliament is a McCarthyite parliament. And the disgrace is that there's no one attempting even a degree of objectivity. If you're going to talk about Xinjiang, or if you're going to talk about Kovrig, Mr. Kovrig and the other gentleman, shouldn't you ask somebody who has some understanding of the rationale of the state you're talking about? So you can say, here is what they say. So that you as a parliamentarian can sort that out in your small mind. But we have a kangaroo parliament. They just simply say they're bad guys. How bad are the bad guys? That's the question. So to my mind, I really wish people would, you know, pay attention to our home masters, the ones who are adding on to our problems with the People's Republic of China at a time when we're all supposedly coordinating to fight the COVID-19. This is undermining that effort. It is driven by the United States, who told Canada, it was the United States told Canada to detain a Chinese businesswoman. And they say, well, we have to stand up to the bully. The bully is the United States. But we're not going to stand up to that bully. No, sir. Anyway, those are some of the matters on my mind. And the NGOs are all over this. And the Human Rights Watch has a revolving door with the U.S. State Department. And many former Human Rights Watch people are in the State Department. And many State Department people are now in Human Rights Watch. So we ought to stop giving these guys labels as though they actually care about human rights. It's a hustle, to put it bluntly. I think we maybe got a minute or two remaining, or do we not? Would you know, Phil?
I think we'll just keep talking until the man says to stop. And I think we have a minute. The man says a minute. So
I have heard from the man.
Yeah. He says it.
Okay. I get the thank you. I get the last shot.
You mentioned one organization in particular, Amnesty. They outdid themselves at that parliamentary committee in Ottawa this week. I was like reading the stuff they were saying. And I said, my God, they look like they want to go to war tomorrow. Like, let's invade China because the situation is so desperate. You know,
that's close to the last word and have a lot of time. You're quite right. It was Amnesty put its shoulder to the wheel to get the U.S. to bomb Iraq by creating a false story of a woman who said that she was in a hospital and she saw the Iraqi soldiers commit crimes against humanity, and and George Bush says his wife told him, we've got to do something. So he bombed Iraq. Thank you very much, Phil Conlon. This is the Taylor Report. See you next week.